In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a short while, you'll hear these words, "Dear people of God, I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word," the Book of Common Prayer. Well, I have to confess to you, it's Lent after all, isn't it? Ash Wednesday, time of confession. I have to confess to you, I have never done Lent well. Whatever discipline or disciplines I have chosen in the past for Lent have invariably stalled in the opening days, leaving annoying guilt that lasts the rest of the season. Knowing the history and theology of Lent doesn't help. It only makes matters worse. And I never seem able to take to myself the advice that I give to my flock, to be kind to oneself in Lent. Not to take on too much, but be reasonable about one's disciplines. So here we are, in Lent once more, and the decision how to live into the season. As the invitation to a holy Lent in the prayer book clearly states, the observance of Lent should include certain disciplines: self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial. Notice it doesn't say pick two or three of these. It says they will include ... In fact, we could say, could we not, that all our Lenten disciplines fall under one rubric, the rubric of repentance. For repentance literally means turning around, looking at our lives and deciding to do things differently. This differently could include a regular prayer life. It could include sensible eating, which, for me at any rate, is a form of self-denial anyway. As the Apostle Paul writes in the Epistle for this day, the overarching theme of Lent is reconciliation, being reconciled to God in Christ, being reconciled to ourselves, being reconciled to the other. So this means, in one way or another, practicing some form of piety, some form of introspection. Let's be honest. If we were truly honest with ourselves, if we did commit more time to personal self-examination and reflection, considering our thoughts and our actions, perhaps the world would be a better place. Well, this past year, I passed the biblical benchmark of 70 years. Quite a benchmark, really, one way or another. But then some of you here probably appreciate that. Perhaps you're just reflecting, well, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Well, I've just got it. 70 years. And while I hope to live a good many more years yet, quite unconsciously, I found myself reflecting on my life and asking myself one simple question. With fewer years in front of me than behind me, how do I want to end my days? As I explained last Sunday, the season of Lent is one of those thin places the Celts like to talk about, where the veil between heaven and earth, the visible and the invisible, is very transparent. On reflection, all that I love and care for is mortal and transitory. So that leads me to ask a question: what can I do that might help me live into the joy of God's creation in the years that are left to me? How can I learn to live into that thin place, that permeable place, where earth and heaven abide? Well, trawling the internet and some of my books at home, I came across these words of St. Basil the Great. I always think it's impressive that we can take words of someone who lived 1,700 years ago and still find more relevance in them than the words that we often utter today. This is what he has to say about fasting. Now, bear in mind, it's in a monastery. He says, "Do not limit the benefit of fasting merely to abstinence from food. For a true fast means refraining from evil. Loose every unjust bond. Put away your resentment against your neighbors. Forgive them their offenses. Do not let your fasting lead only to wrangling and strife. You do not eat meat, but you do devour your brother. You abstain from wine, but not from insults. See, all the labor of your fast is then useless." Basil, of course, was preaching to a monastic community of men 1,700 years ago. But his words still carry weight. What I think St. Basil points out is that our Lenten discipline, or disciplines, whatever they might be, should be more than the acts themselves. It is our intention to change that counts. For many a long year, I felt that in Lent, it is worthy to take something on as much as to abstain. So this Lent, I will try to devote more time to reading, something I habitually neglect, in favor of not watching television, which has become somewhat of a compulsion. But more than anything, I shall be trying hard to let go everything that prevents me from appreciating the life I have and the wonderful beauty of God's creation. I hope to see God in everyone I encounter and to show it, and to try to live into the moment as if it were my last. I will try to be faithful in prayer, as my orders require, but constantly remind myself that God is a very tactful God and appreciates more than we allow the tugs and pulls that life brings. I have no idea what Lenten disciplines you will or will not take up, if you take up any at all. But I do wish you a holy Lent. Perhaps pray you is a better word. I do pray you a holy Lent. And as we enter this thin place together, as Jesus really pointedly makes the observation, may it be a joyful Lent, and one where we see and feel the presence of God in every single person we meet. Amen.